One of the best combat leaders in the Civil War unfortunately became an army commander. In doing so, General John Bell Hood proved the validity of the Peter Principle, whereby some people rise in life to the ultimate level of incompetence. Certainly in Hood's case, he was pushed by ambition and circumstances into a position beyond his capacities. The son of a Kentucky physician, Hood was an 1853 graduate of West Point. He served in the famed 2nd U.S. Cavalry under Sidney Johnston and Robert E. Lee. His rise in Confederate service was dazzling. A lieutenant when he left the regular army in 1861, Hood gained the colonelcy of a Texas regiment and by the following summer was a major general. He led one of the world's most famous combat units, the Texas Brigade, in Lee's army. So aggressive a battle leader was Hood that Lee often used his men as shock troops in combat. The gallant Hood, Confederate soldiers called him. One observer thought Hood a splendid-looking, dignified man possessing a melodious and powerful voice and the look of a dashing soldier. Hood wore a long, tawny beard. Sad, drowsy eyes had an uncanny way of lighting up when he rode into battle. A South Carolina officer added that Hood's men were devoted to him and believed in him absolutely. His finest day may have come with an attack at Antietam. One of the units that Hood's own slot struck was the 6th Wisconsin, whose colonel declared, "A long and steady line of rebel gray comes sweeping down through the woods around the Dunker Church. They raise the rebel yell and fire. It is like a scythe running through our line. It is a race for life that each man runs for cover from the cornfield." The Wisconsin regiment took 314 men into action that day. Hood's Texans killed or wounded 152 of them. General Stonewall Jackson, never given to high praise, always referred to Hood in complimentary terms. On one occasion, in an unnatural burst of emotion, Jackson said of Hood, "Oh, he is a soldier." That was the highest accolade old Jack could pay. By the age of 32, however, John Hood was a physical wreck. One arm had been permanently disabled by wounds at Gettysburg. He had lost a leg 2 months later at Chickamauga. Hood clumped about on crutches, and when he rode, he had to be strapped to the saddle. The stump of his leg gave him constant pain. Despite the impoundments, President Davis named Hood in July 1864 to succeed General Joseph Johnston as commander of the Army of Tennessee. Lee opposed the appointment. "Hood is a good fighter," Lee acknowledged, "very industrious on the battlefield, but callous off the field." Lee was wise. Hood was a superb division leader, but once placed in high command, he failed consistently. Hood took over the army at Atlanta and launched not one but three disastrous attacks on the enemy. Forced to abandon the city in September, Hood led his forces on what one historian classified as the most poorly planned and executed major campaign of the war. Stunning defeats at Franklin and Nashville all but destroyed the Confederate army. The general was relieved from command at his own request. Most historians dismiss Hood as an ambitious troublemaker, a simple man, tactless and crude. Failure tends to emphasize a man's weaknesses in history. Hood's brilliance as a fighter is too often forgotten by his clumsiness as an army commander. Even his end was tragic. In August 1879, Hood, his wife and a daughter died in New Orleans of yellow fever. Left behind were heavy debts and 10 orphan children.